7. Success philosophy number 4. Brand consistency matters. As we discussed in Chapter 4, your brand is not just your logo, colors, fonts, and icons. Your brand is so much more. It's the way you talk, the images you take, the feel of your social media posts, the way you present yourself in public, your message, your theme, the people you target, and content you create. Your brand, in other words, is everything you do. It's your entire online and in-person presence. The great news is that you get to decide what kind of brand you want to create around your business. Part of that process is thinking through all the things we talked about in Chapter 4 when we laid out the foundation for your business. And another important part is creating content and messaging that's consistent to that brand. The more off-brand you go, the more confused your audience will become. And guys, confusion kills. Make sure your message is consistent and represents you. That includes any time you're representing your brand. Consistency is a crucial part in trust building that you will need to have between your brand, you, and your customer. Understanding your audience. My first business that really took off for me was an essential oils business. What I noticed when I fell in love with the product was that the current marketing for it largely consisted of people who were outside of my target customer. I wanted to reach young moms between the ages of 25 and 40, but it became quickly and abundantly clear to me that the standard marketing and branding for these products was such a turnoff to people in my chosen market, people like me, that my target customers wouldn't even consider those tiny little bottles of awesome. I didn't want to be responsible for that misconception. I knew that if I was going to serve my customer in the right way, I would have to take responsibility for reaching them in a different way. My business was born out of a vision to bring essential oils to a younger market than was currently being catered to. This market cares a lot about what things they purchase look like, which is especially true if they're going to be spending a good chunk of money on it. So I did a lot of thinking about packaging. I wanted to offer something young, fresh, clean, bright, and cute. I also wanted to make it clear that oils weren't just for 45 to 65-year-old women, or that tofu and granola natural foods crowd. That's where most of the essential oils marketing seemed to be aimed at the time. I wanted to show that oils can be for anyone at any level of commitment to a natural lifestyle. In reaching my customers, I wanted to create a home for people who hadn't gone all in on everything health and wellness yet, a place for the misfits in the barrage of information and products that is the health and wellness industry. I myself am part-time crunchy granola and part-time Chick-fil-A, number one, no pickles with sweet tea, please, and I knew a lot of women like me. So I decided my target market and my team would largely be made up of people who love their oils and use them, but also aren't afraid to stop for a happy meal if it's been one of those days with the kids. I wanted to make sure our brand represented that. I wanted to say, oils don't have to be weird, trust us. We use them too, and we're just like you. Once I understood who I was trying to reach, I immediately saw a need for better marketing, educational materials, and customer service, so I set out to rectify that for my people by offering exactly that. Understanding my audience and what they were looking for in a brand itself made all the difference in my business. Even without having control of what the product packaging looked like, I was able to connect with my customer by changing what I did have control over. Was it difficult? Yes. Did it take a lot of hours? Oh my gosh, yes. Did I have to invest my money into it? My gosh, yes. A lot of hours, issues, frustration, plus a lot of money from my paycheck went back into my business. Did it work? Absolutely. I will continue to work my hardest to fill holes in the market and meet the needs of the people I serve so that they can succeed faster with more ease. I make it a priority to find ways to solve issues that don't involve depending on others. I believe it's up to me to create wins for both my team and myself. Personally, I rely on God to do the rest. You can do that too. Be original, think outside the box, and go get what you want. Just do it consistently. Target your marketing to your target market. One thing I see a lot of women who are trying to sell products do is basically throw up all of their social media feeds with information about their products, no matter who made it or compiled the information or what it looks like. That desperation is felt by potential customers, and it feels both manipulative and inauthentic. Hammering potential customers over the head with information from all over the World Wide Web sends the message that I'm just looking for sales, not I'm sharing information to help people. I don't share any marketing pieces for my business if they aren't consistent to my brand. If I shared everything I see, it would confuse my potential customer. It's important to me that I keep things consistent and clean in the way I communicate and the way my brand looks. I absolutely don't want people to get the impression that I'm desperate for sales. Make sure you think about your target market each time you're about to put information about the product or service that you're selling. My business started with a post on Instagram to help moms, and I haven't wavered from that. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Instead, be conscious about how your brand is perceived by your potential customers. If you're targeting a new market, consistency of approach is especially important. The net you cast shouldn't be all-encompassing. It's really okay and definitely smarter to find a niche market and meet the needs of those specific people. Become an expert on your target market and you'll have a huge advantage. I often see people fishing for every kind of person, and the things they post and talk about make me feel like they're just casting a line randomly into every pond, hoping to catch something. Customers sense that and steer clear. Our business can't successfully be all things to all people. And when we try, we're likely to alienate the very customer we want to reach. My friend Elizabeth and I are a lot alike in a lot of ways. She often knows what I'm thinking before I say it. She and I share a love for a lot of color, good music, food, and cute internet animal videos. We laugh about the dumbest things together, and we've been co-workers now for the past 4 years. One thing we do not have in common is that Elizabeth is not a mom, which is one of my biggest parts of my life. She has no plans to be a mother, and I commend her for making the choice that's right for her. Liz isn't in my target market, and I don't intentionally create content for people without kids. Liz is an outlier for me. She bought product from me despite the fact that I don't specifically market to her. Just because I serve moms and talk a lot about my own parenting journey doesn't mean I won't pull out outliers like Elizabeth. In fact, I polled my followers last year and found that 30% of them do not have kids. Does that mean I abandon talking to moms? No, it simply proves that I can affect people outside of my target market with my brand, even while keeping my market consistently focused on my target market. It's great to get outliers, but stay consistent in who you're serving. Let the people who want to be a part of your tribe stay, and don't worry about the others. Market you more than your product. Part of being brand consistent is making sure the brand of you doesn't get taken over by your product or service. When you're starting out, before you have a slew of amazing employees and your business starts generating millions, it's so important that you as a person connect directly with your potential customers. That means you must put yourself into the conversations and social media posts as much as, really more than, you put your product. I realize this might sound counterproductive. Lindsay, if I want people to know I have a product to sell, don't I have to talk about it all the time? I wish it was that simple, y'all. If only we lived in a world where we could just mention what we have to sell and people would fall all over themselves to book us or buy from us, but we don't. It's one thing for a company that's well-established and has insane brand recognition to talk about their product all the time. It's quite another for a small business to do the same. We have to give our potential customers time to get to know us and our product, time to like us, time to trust us, time to decide whether our product or service will meet their needs. That means doing social media is going to be harder for us than it is for a company like Coke or Starbucks. It's my firm belief that you, as a small business owner, don't have the luxury to just advertise your product on your feed. To get the best results, you have to ease your customer into the sale by letting them know both you and your product, but especially you. The winning combination I found while I was building my own business was to post once about my product and what I do, and then post another 4 times on my feed about other things. The other posts could be industry-related information, little tips and tricks, insights into my personal life, behind-the-scenes posts, funny posts, or entertaining and educational reads. But they couldn't be a hard sell for my product or service. Our customers aren't stupid. They know how to block out content that isn't going to relate to them. When our customers get used to seeing the exact same post worded in 174 different ways over and over and over again in our social media feeds, they condition themselves to scroll right past what you're saying. Sister, our brains are capable of making 20 quadrillion, yeah, that's a number, calculations in a single second. Making the decision to scroll past that content that isn't going to entertain, teach, help, or excite us is so easy we don't even realize when we've made the choice. It happens without even having to think about it because we're amazing creatures with supercomputers for brains. With that reality in mind, it's our job to keep our customer on their toes and create a desire in them to make sure they don't miss a post from you. Do that by mixing up your content and making sure you're spending enough time on that part of your business. Talk about your product, of course, but do it in a 1-to-5 ratio as we discussed. Make them fall in love with you, and they'll fall in love with the things you love, like your product and your service. People will want to work with you, and you won't have to sell them if they feel like they know you. They'll know the person they're working with, and that is how you get repeat customers who tell their friends about you. Delete the share button. I see it all the time. One photographer or artist does something that creates some momentum in her business, and then before you know it, every other photographer or artist is doing the same thing to try to recreate that buzz. When social media fads happen, the only way the consumer can get away from it is to scroll past the posts or unfollow the poster. I'm sure we can all think of multiple examples of this from our own social media feeds, often from people who sell a product through network marketing. I often think, I've seen this before, only to scroll through my feed and see the same post 17 other times from people representing that same product. Copying, pasting, and sharing are easier than creating your own original content, of course, and it can easily become your default. But using other stuff, even really good stuff, is not going to help you stand out from the competition, and your customer will only hang around for so much of it. Your voice is missing when you don't take the time to write your own content, and your tribe needs your voice. Let's explore how customers might feel if they see multiple social media posts that are simply copied and pasted and perhaps just like those from your competition. Reaction number one, I feel sold to. The first thing I feel when I keep seeing the same thing popping up in my newsfeed from different people is sold to. I start to wonder if the post is intended to actually help, engage me, or just get my money. And I think your customers probably feel that way too. When people choose to buy product from you, it's because they trust you to connect what they need with what you have. They're trusting that your product or service will work for them just like you said it would. And they like to feel like you see them as something more than a source of income. But when they see a big group of people all posting the same thing, if the words aren't yours, then the natural assumption is that they're being sold something. And when a product needs to be sold like that, there's a good chance it's not that great. The trust starts to go backwards and not forward. Reaction number two, I can't hear you. In addition, as people get used to your posts sneaking into their social media feeds or they read or watch your videos, they'll become accustomed to your tone and the way you communicate. They'll start to hear you speaking through your written posts as well as be more likely to read them. But when you copy and paste someone else's writing, that connection you have with that customer is missing. Let your online customers relate to the way you talk, the way you position your words, the slang you use. As you write original content, imagine your target customer sitting in front of you, poised to hear what you have to say today. Write to that one person, but this is important, do it the way you speak. This might be a challenge, especially if you were born before 1985. If you grew up before text and social media, or if you had a really good or really opinionated English teacher. I often see people get into social media and their feeds and write what sounds like a formal letter instead of natural speech. Writing like you speak probably isn't what your teacher taught you in school, but it's the right way to communicate on social media. Slang, text abbreviations are totally fine. Contractions are great. Sentence fragments and emoticons are preferred. The only thing that really matters is developing a consistent and recognizable voice. The better you get at maintaining it online, the easier it will be for you to remain brand consistent. The way you speak and write is a part of your brand. Pro tip. Here's an excellent way to practice the art of writing like you speak. You'll need a pencil, paper, a cell phone, and a good friend you're comfortable talking to. First, pick one of the questions that follow, whichever would be easiest for you to answer, and write out the answer as if you were going to post it on social media. This should take about 2 minutes. Question one, what do you wish you did more often? Question two, if life ended today, what would you regret not doing? Question three, what habit would you most likely want to start or stop? Now, set your answer aside and grab your phone and your friend. You can do this over Skype, Zoom, FaceTime if your friend isn't with you in person. Have your friend hold your phone, open the Voice Memo app, and start recording. Then take about 2 minutes to answer the same question out loud. Look at your friend and talk to her normally, the way you would if she asked the question. When the recording is finished, transcribe your voice memo onto a different piece of paper so that you can see the exact words that you used and how the information flowed when you spoke the answer rather than wrote it. Then compare your two answers. How are they similar? How are they different? How might you be able to practice writing more like you speak so that the audience can hear your voice as they read your words? You can always keep transcribing your spoken word into written words if needed until it becomes easier. Reaction number three. I've seen that one before. So if you're reposting others' pictures, your audience will remember and your credibility will go out the window because they'll know you're not using genuine content. Take the time to get yourself a subscription to a really great stock photo library or learn how to take eye-catching images of your product and your life for your customers to see. Great images compel your audience to take the time to read what you've written, but they need to be original. Reaction number four, what's the story? When you share posts from others instead of your own, your audience misses the story, your story, that connects her, the customer, to you, the salesperson. Remember, we are hardwired to connect through story. Facts and figures only go so far to actually get people to buy a product. Your customers need your story. They need your experience. They need you. Again, there's a simple remedy to these four potential responses. Simple, but not easy. Take the time to create your own content. I know, I'm blowing your mind. Best money you've ever spent on a book. Be inspired by how other people present information. Let their ideas help you create ones of your own. But come up with your own materials so your customers have the benefit of your voice, your brand, and your point of view. Your social media posts should be a big part of your job. You should be spending time on them to make your posts unique and on brand. Don't let what's easy take you on a shortcut to nowhere.